Thanks for the three people who clapped. Last week, Tim and I, after 20 years, told the church that we were stepping aside as the leaders of Sea Change. And we shared, I don't normally, you know, I'm not that organized, like I'm a bit spontaneous in my personality. And so I wrote down what I was going to say. And we called a special meeting in the church. Everyone was like, what's going to happen? And I shared with the church, and I read out what I was going to read, and everyone stood up and applauded. I was like, I didn't know how to take it. They've never applauded me, and they applaud me when I told them I'm leaving. So, but it was beautiful. So, new season. So I'm gonna. Dave said I was gonna come and share a little bit about Kingsway Care, and Dave said, "Oh, do you want to preach?" And I said, "Oh, sure, no worries." So I want to encourage you. I hope today is just an encouragement, just in your journey with God. So let's just wait a moment on Him, hey, and just pray. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are among us. We thank you, Lord, that you are here, and that we are ready and we are willing to listen and to learn and to lean in to anything that you want to speak to us about. Lord, we are clay in the potter's hand, and we want to be changed and restored and strengthened by your word today. And we thank you that you love us. Thank you that every single person here. And I just declare the love of Christ over all of us, because this is the foundation of our knowing. It's the foundation of our receiving, knowing that we are truly known and that we are truly loved, that we are truly accepted, and everything comes from that place. And so we just say that we believe, and we say, Lord, we believe that we are who you say we are, and we receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a few slides. I just want to put the first one up there on the screen. And I want to start here. Jesus said in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. One of the things that stops us believing and stops us believing that God speaks to us is that we believe that we're actually an orphan. This is the starting point, if you like, that we need to know and believe that you are a son and a daughter of God, and no one can change that. You are His, and as close as the Father is to His kids, that is how close He is to you. And you can't reject the fact that you are not an abandoned child. You are not left to figure this out on your own. But through the Holy Spirit, the Father draws close to us, not as a distant God, but as a loving Father who leads His sons and daughters. Romans 8 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received brought you about, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So today on Father's Day, as we talk about hearing God's voice, I want us to remember that your Heavenly Father longs to speak to you. That you're not on your own. And as much as what's going on in your life right now, and you think, I'm trying to figure this out myself, I've got to do this on my own. And we all have this sense. It's the pride in us, you know. It's that sense sometimes where we go, you know what, I'm not going to ask anyone. You know, we want to figure this out on our own. It's almost like a sign of strength sometimes. We go, if I don't have to ask anyone, then how cool am I? But it's the opposite, where we grow up in our journey with God. It's like this kind of sense that, you know, when you're a child, you're a little baby, and you're so dependent on your parents in order to lead your life and to look after you. And then as we grow up, I know of my kids, I can't wait. I am grooming them to be independent. I'm like, I can't wait till they stop asking me for stuff. Like in my, they get to those teenagers, and then I get to my adult years, and my kids are growing up, and you know what? There is no greater gift for me as a father to hear my 30-year-old daughter ring me and ask me for something. I have taught her her whole life and groomed her whole life to be independent. She's gone from being dependent to independent, and I have groomed her, and we have psychologically and emotionally been groomed to be independent. And the Lord is saying to us, you are not on your own, depend on me. You don't have to figure this life out on your own. In fact, you weren't created for that. You weren't created to figure this life out on you. You're created to be co-dependent or co-laborers with Christ. It's like, the greatest thing you can say is, you know what? I don't know what's going on. Like, how humbling is that sometimes for people to come to you and ask your advice and go, I don't know. But there's something in us that feels like we have to know. But I just want to encourage you, it's okay to say, I don't know. I haven't worked it out. And this is the gift of God speaking to us. He's the Father who guides, He listens, and He will never lead us. And one of the greatest privileges of being a child is that He speaks to us and He's not silent. And from Genesis to Revelation, God is revealing Himself, guiding His people, and inviting us into His relationship. In John 10, we read, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. This means hearing His voice is not reserved for the spiritual elite, but it's a birthright of every believer. When you receive Holy Spirit, you receive the voice of the Father. The Holy Spirit will lead you. If you go to the next slide, read this. The Holy Spirit will lead you into a life that you could have never experienced on your own. In fact, if we want to do it on our own, you are missing out. You are missing out. I went and saw my mum this week. She just had a stroke about a week ago. And I drove down there, and I'm in the car, and I'm just like thinking about, she's doing really well, and I think she'll make a full recovery, but she's not speaking very much. And I just felt the Lord say to me, and this is not, I don't want to over-spiritualize this hearing from God, because sometimes when we say, oh, we're going to hear from God, we hear this kind of booming voice. It's like a thought. It's just like this, and I'll talk about that in a minute, and I just want to illustrate it now. But I just had this feeling, or this thought, this unction, that I should open the Jesus Calling devotional to today's reading. And it's like, I guess it's a bit of a random thought. Anyway, so I got there and I opened it. And the word was about how strong you are when you're frail. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Like, the words in that reading that day were so much more powerful than any rubbish that I could come up with. It was such a powerful word that she needed to receive. And because she couldn't speak, we just sat there and I read the word over her. And it was such a beautiful moment. So I just want to sort of say a few things and then just pull some things out. And I hope that we just get this idea that every single person here, I just want to say, if you're a believer, if you're a son and a daughter, you hear His voice. You do. And in fact, if you don't, see, unbelief and doubt is the enemy of hearing God's voice. It is the thing that will stop you believing that God speaks to you, because He does speak to you. And you go, and so I've even said on my own journey, oh, God doesn't speak to me. But I'm telling you, He speaks to you. So you go to the next slide. I just want to reinforce this idea that you know His voice. I don't know about you, but what made you become a believer? Let me just say this. You didn't choose God. He chose you. And He spoke to you and said, you need to respond. Do you remember that feeling? Does anyone remember that sense? You didn't wake up one morning and go, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. There was something in you. There was something deep within inside you. I don't know what that story, and I love to hear the stories of people here, but there was something there that either made you go up the front or wake you up in the middle of the night or something. It was like, you just knew He was drawing you to Himself. I want to say that moment is the foundation of how He speaks to you for the rest of your life. It's not like He's going to speak to you then, and then there's going to be silence until you die. He speaks spoke to you and you heard it and you respond, and I just want to encourage you that he'll speak to you in very similar ways. And I just want to, I suppose, reinforce that and go, you know what, those doubts and unbelief, say, I haven't heard God's voice. Like, go back to the moment where you first heard his voice and use that as a foundation to say, I hear his voice. I hear his voice. The challenge is not that he has stopped speaking. The challenge is that we often don't recognize his voice. So we need to recognize it. In John 16, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he's here. The Holy Spirit, it says. So the Holy Spirit is the voice of God within us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It is the voice of God within us. You go to the next slide, the role of the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know him. You know him. Jesus called the Spirit our paraclete, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. This is what his job is, and this is what he loves to do. He says this in John 14. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Get this. I'll ask the Father, he'll give you a helper. Who wants a helper? Like, no, I don't want a helper. You know, it goes back to this independent thing I just want to speak into. That sense of, he wants to be your helper and you're saying, I don't need a helper. I want to be your helper. I don't need a helper. It's like, can I help you with that? No, I'm good. And the Holy Spirit's nudging us and speaking, you know, saying, oh, can I help you? Can I help you? No, I'm good. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and in you. So, you know his voice because you first were called by his voice. And you know him because Holy Spirit lives him. And the Bible says that you know him. You recognize him. He's familiar to you. So how does God speak? Go to the next slide. Hearing God's leading through his word. God speaks in two primary ways, I would say. It's the written word and the spoken word. Yeah? Has anyone got any other ways that God might speak to you? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That is the plan of the God's voice in your life, is actually to push you into righteousness, is to get you to a place where you are led into the right. What is righteousness? Righteousness is simply God's right way of living. God's page. He's trying to get you on the God page. And he's trying to push you. And you're like, no, I'm good. I mean, he's like going, you're not good. I don't care. You say you're good, but you're not good. I don't need a helper. Yeah, you need help. You need a lot of help. We're the last person to see that I need help. Everyone else sees it and goes, oh, I reckon that guy could do with some Holy Spirit. I reckon that guy could do with some leading. So God speaks through those things. And then God speaks through his word. He tells us that the Spirit will guide us. So it's his written word and his spoken word. And the word of God is alive. And those two things come together as it judges our thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. And as those things come together, we hear the Spirit, we sense the Spirit, and it is aligned with God's word. There's something about, and you've seen, as you've read God's word maybe many times, and there's something in God's word that stands out to you or drags out, you're like, you read it and you've read it for the first time, and it's like, there's something in this that I need to listen to. Can I encourage you? Don't read the word, but allow the word to read you. Allow it to speak into your life and take time for it to speak and judge you and change you and transform you and look at the attitudes of your heart. So I want to land here. I love what Paul says in this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, and I want to read it to you. It's up on the screen here. You can go to the next slide, Rocky. These are the different ways God speaks. I want to get a little bit practical with you now. And Paul writes these words. He says, "So it is with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you," and this would be most people's attitude. I love what Paul says is because he starts off this by really saying, "I need a helper. I'm not coming to you with a sense that I've got it all worked out and I'm very, you know, I'm an orator and I'm a great speaker and I'm all this and I'm all that." And he's going, "Actually, I'm on Struggle Street and I need some help, and I've invited Holy Spirit to do a work in me so that you can listen to what he wants to say. And so it is with me, brothers. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom." Get that? Human wisdom. Human wisdom. There is a massive difference between the human wisdom and Holy Spirit wisdom. "As I proclaim to you the testimony about God's, for I am resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling." This is him saying, "I need a helper. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's work in my life, the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory." Don't you love that? "A message that's been hidden but now revealed to God's people before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." Next slide. "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." I mean, who wouldn't want to walk with the Spirit? "For who knows a person's thoughts except the own Spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." You read that again. "So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual words. The person without the Spirit does not accept these things. They come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of Christ as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I don't know if you like it or not, but God's in your head. He's got in you. He's in there. I don't know if you're excited about that. He's got you. He's got you. He's in there. And he's annoying because he's in there. And he leads you and he guides you because he's in there. So the Spirit speaks in many ways. And I just love what Paul writes here. And he really highlights a couple of things for me. If you go to the next slide. Through the eye. Through visions and pictures. He said, because we read right through Scripture that there are different ways to hear God's voice, and there is an absolute myriad of different things the way God speaks to people, through his word and through the Spirit, but also through visions and pictures. We see in Peter's vision in Acts 10, and there's so many other places in the Bible where God will show us images or impressions that reveal his purposes. And as Dave shared, through the ear, there's a small voice or a small thought, maybe is a better way to put it. Because if you're hearing voices, then maybe you need to talk to me. A small thought or an idea We talked about an Elijah, which Dave talked about. God's voice is not in the wind or the fire, but a gentle whisper. Many times his voice is quiet. It's a nudge. It's a prompting. It's a verse that comes to mind. Well, through your mind, thoughts and reminders and dreams. I love this for me. This simplifies things. How does God speak to me? Through my eyes, through my ears, and through my mind. So what does that do for me? It makes me more aware that I don't just need to listen to him through my mind, but there are things that he wants to show me with my eyes. There are things that he wants to reveal to me through my mind and through my ears. I'd often drive to work into the office and I'd say, Lord, I want you to speak to me today. And I would say, Lord, I want you to reveal something to me. I'm going to see 1,000 messages between now and when I get there, but I want one message to stand out to me that I haven't seen before. And often it's a weird thing. It's almost like a bit of a thing where I'll be just driving along and all of a sudden this, you know, I mean, I'm nowhere when I'm driving. Like, I'm not super present. I'm just going where I'm going to go. But there's something about just being open to what the Lord wants to say to you in those moments and then just going, you know what, there are things around. Often there'll be something, you know, I'll see something or I'll see a sign or I'll see a tree or I'll see something and God will just start to speak to me through those things. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, God, I want to listen to you with my eyes. I want to be present with my eyes. If you go to the next slide, so it comes down to like this for me, the intersection of God's voice and our thoughts. Hearing God's voice is often like, for me, an intersection. You're driving along in your own line with your own thoughts and your own routines and your own ideas and your own musings. And then suddenly you're cut off by a random thought or a random picture or a random idea. And you're like, where'd that come from? That new road is God's thought intersecting your thoughts. It often comes as an interruption, a conviction, a reminder, or something that you just never thought of yourself. And Isaiah 55 says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. There's a sense that I need to humble myself and realize I've got my thoughts and then come across there's a thought. There's a guy, I'll tell you how Platform 9 started. Is that I was there was a homeless guy that used to live in the park in Como. He used to come into my office and sleep in my lazy boy in my office because it was, you know, he had a fold-back thing and it was good. And he used to come in every day, and I was like, yeah, I needed, and I felt just a prompting to go and chat to the lady who owned the pub next door. Her name was Carol Durkin, and she's a lovely lady. She's passed away now. But she was like, it felt like when I spoke to her, like I was going to the principal's office. So I avoided talking to her. Lovely, but just like a matriarch, you know, kind of lady, an old lady who ran a pub, you know, owned a bunch of pubs. And I went up to her and I said, Carol, can I chat to you for a sec? I said, I've got this homeless guy and I'm just trying to get him. Do you reckon you've got space at the pub where you could... where you could house him? And she's like, nah, I got nothing. I was like, okay, no worries. Anyway, a few months later, she rings me and says, Brooke, I want to talk to you about that conversation we had. I'm like, okay. And once again, I thought I was getting called into the principal's office. I said, okay, Carol, what's happening? She says, you don't know this, but I was thinking about that conversation. She says, I own the Cars Park Motel. And he says, oh, I don't want to use it anymore as a motel, so do you want it? For $1 a year. And I'm like, sure. And I don't need to pray about that. Didn't even ask the elders, I don't think. I said, just seemed a bit obvious to me that we would do it. But at that moment, I think about that moment where I felt like I heard an unction to go and talk to her. And then at that time, I felt rejected. There was nothing in it. It wasn't till 3 months or 4 months later that she rings me back based on that unction and says, there's something I have for you today. So don't always read your rejection or your thought as something that would, you know, as a no, but as a not yet. How many times we might miss out on what God has for us because we don't listen and we don't respond to what he's saying. So I feel like this is helpful, just that intersection to think about how God might cross over sometimes and what you might do with that information, how he might speak to you. So if you go to the next slide, I just want to finish here. And most of you would know this, and you've probably got other ideas as well. But when you hear God's voice, one is you're not alone, you're not an orphan, you have Holy Spirit, but you also have each other. And so when you hear, it has to be consistent with Scripture. Like, God's not going to do, like, you need to search the Scriptures and you say, is this in line with God's nature and character, what he's saying to me? Like, is this something, Dallas Willard said this, a thought that bears the stamp of his personality. A thought that bears a stamp of his personality. There's something about the voice of God which is like, that sounds like him. It sounds like something he would say. Even though it's weird and I'm scared, it sounds like something he would say. Well, we recently made a decision, as I said to you, around... sea change, and this goes to this point. Next point, there's peace and clarity when you make a decision. The voice does carry peace about it. It even challenges us, but it carries a sense of peace. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule your heart. Since you are members of one body, you were called to peace. This is the way we operate, in peace. And we made a decision after 20 years to step aside at Sea Changer, mate. I thought you'd have to drag me out of there kicking and screaming, mate. That we, me and Tammy, planted that church. And I had a moment with God where he just whispered in my ear and he said, Brooke, he said, it's okay to let go. And I remember that moment. And from that moment onwards, I have never felt more peace about it. It's been a hard thing and I've felt a lot of kind of tears and pain and stuff, but I've never questioned the fact that I feel it's the right time for us because I have a peace about it. And that is the first miracle in my mind. Like, peace is a miracle. I don't know about you, but I don't live in peace every day. I know some of you do because you're super spiritual and stuff, but like, there's an unsettledness in us sometimes when we're making decisions. But when peace comes, it's almost a surprise, like a good surprise, but it's like, no, this is good. This is the right thing. So when you're hearing God's voice, there's a sense that consistency with Scripture. He will read the Scriptures and you'll feel that it's the kind of thing that he would speak. There's peace and clarity, and there's also community confirmation. God always confirms his leading through wise counsel. The moment the church stood up and clapped because I was resigning, I thought at that moment that is confirmation that this is the right thing to do. It was hard to hear, but it was right. So I just encourage you, even if you're just hearing God's voice about your own life, talk to someone about it. You are not alone. You don't have to figure this out on your own. You're not an orphan, and you're part of a family. You've got a God as the Father, and you're part of a family. And so even if it's as simple as like, I feel like, I don't know, Dave, there's something that God's been talking about. It sounds a bit weird, and I don't know whether it's right or Joe, or your life group leader or whatever, but it's like, can I just talk to you about that? And those people can start to say to you, that sounds like God to me. Or they'll say, that sounds super crazy. But you need to hear that as well. You need to hear that moment of like, but you need to get that feedback. Don't make the decision before you've spoken to others. Can I just encourage you? About your own life, about your own walk, like allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, but if it's something that's a little bit you're not sure of, because God doesn't lead us into, He wants to lead us into clarity. He doesn't want to lead us into uncertainty. And so if you're in uncertainty, the best thing you can do is talk it out and to have that time with other people. The central person in hearing God's voice is the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. He's your helper, and he's going to be your little helper whether you like it or not. And he speaks to you today. He's going to speak to you through your mind, your ears, and your eyes. And he's going to come and he's going to cut you off. He's going to be the intersection of your life. And when he does that, in your own quiet time or when you're with others or you're driving a car and you feel like something is there, take the time to see whether, is this kind of the way he speaks? It's in line with his character. Is this, do I have a peace and clarity to take this further? And can I talk to others about this to make sure that I'm hearing right? And if you do that, we're going to have so much fun. Francis Chan said this, the Holy Spirit will lead you into a life that you never could have experienced on your own. I want that. I want Holy Spirit life. I want the best life God can give me. And I want my ears open for that. I want you to see, I always think about this. We have this idea that God's going to lead us in two ways. He's either a travel agent or a travel guide. The travel agent, not that I go on holidays very often, but you go to his office and he'll give you all the information and he'll send you on your way. You know that experience? Anyone travel agent? No one? That's good. I'm really on the page this morning. But he just, sometimes we think that's what our faith is like. We think, oh, you know, the Lord's, you know, we become a believer, we hear his voice, he gives us his scripture, and then he sends us on our way and says, good luck with that. That's the travel agent. But he's the travel guide. He is the Emmanuel, and he will come with you. And he will show you the detail and the amazing things and the things that you'd never see on your own if he wasn't there with you. Because he's been where you haven't been. The life that you have ahead of you, he knows. And he's going to allow you to experience that in ways that you've never experienced before. That's the best life. So let's have communion together. And I suppose this morning I just want us to go, you know, as you drink the cup and remember that of his blood that was poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin and his body which was broken for you so that you could be healed. You are healed and whole and forgiven because of what he has done for you. You are his son and his daughter. You are in the family. You're not out. You're not an orphan. You're a son. You hear his voice. And we come this morning to say, thank you, Lord, that you are in me through your Holy Spirit. That you are with me, that I'm not on my own, and that it's an acceptance that you have a helper. And you're going, bring it on. Bring it on. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for today. I pray you'd open everyone's ears, you'd open everyone's eyes, that you would open everyone's minds, and I pray that you would interrupt our lives as you want to, because the life that you have with us is much better than the life that we could live on our own. We don't want to go with human wisdom, we want Holy Spirit wisdom. I pray as we take communion right now that we would receive our identity in you, knowing that we are yours and that you're with us, that you paved a way because we are forgiven, that we are healed, and we are restored so we can live the life that you called us in complete fellowship with you. This is what paved the way for fellowship, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for the fellowship we have with Holy Spirit, and you paved the way for us to do that, and that is such a gift, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.